Good evening. It's good to be here in God's house. Glad all of you have come to be with us in our midweek service. Prayer time. Good to have all these kids come back for the midweek service. We're glad that they're here. Just a few announcements before we get going. First, we have a missionary family here with us, from the Weber family to Mongolia. They're here, actually came down for a doctor's appointment at Nemours Hospital. They're sitting here, so after church, y'all get by and show yourself friendly and tell them appreciate them coming by and being here in our services. They'll be headed back up to near Jacksonville from Baldwin tomorrow, or tonight. Tonight? Do you have to go back tonight? No? It's a little late, church. All right, Jim, let's put them in the hotel. That'd be okay, so they don't have to travel back tonight. That'd be okay with you, brother? Is that okay, church? That's a long drive after church tonight. They had a long day, so after church, brother, we'll get you hooked up and get you. Your prophet's chambers are full, or we'll put them over there. Glad to have God's people and God's people working. Just stop by and we'll be a blessing to you if we can. And something else, the Central Florida Children's Home is having their 6th annual 5K run / walk on the 22nd of March. And all proceeds, I guess you have to pay an entry fee, but all proceeds go to benefit the Central Florida Children's Home, which is right over on Narcoosie Road. So if any of you that walk or run would like to be doing what you like to do, this would be a good thing. It helps somebody instead of yourself. So I'll put it up on here. I'll hang it up over here, so if you want the information. It's for the kids of the children's home. Event starts at 5 o'clock p.m. So that's Saturday over there. Then, college days, February 26th to the 28th, Florida at the Brand Baptist College. And if someone's interested in going, that being junior or senior, that'd be interested in going and see their college on February 26th and 28th, or if you've already graduated, say you graduated last year or 1969 and you think you want to go back and go to college, Bible college, we'll take you up there. Just let me know if you're interested in that. February 26th and 28th, college days up in Berea. That's Brother Montgomery's church, the college where he works at, he's just preaching for us on Scripture Day. And we started going to the men's retreat in April down in Wesley Chapel. We'll still be going that. That's April 11th to the, and 12th of April. But the Venture of Faith is having theirs also on the 21st, 22nd. Does that sound right? If you or would like to go, you're 18 years old, young man or older, would like to go to that one as well, would like to go to both of them, or can't go to one in April, would like to go to one in February, we can arrange that. But I have to know tonight. No, I can. You can let me know Sunday. Deadline's the 10th. I've got to let them know Sunday. So think about that. The men's retreat, if you want to go to both of them, it's fine. It's $50 for both of them. We'll drive up to Georgia. Then the other one's actually down near Tampa. And that was in April where we went last year. So if you'd like to go and interested in both, they're kind of two different events, but directed at men. And I'm telling you, our men needs a lot. And I'm willing to go to both of them if you're interested. So 18 and above. Let me know about Venture of Faith, and then the other one's in April down in Western Chapel, Faith Baptist down there. All right, let's get into the Word of God this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to continue our studies through the Word of God. We're verse by verse, chapter by chapter, on Wednesday night through the book of 1 Corinthians. And we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. As I believe we stopped at verse 13 last Wednesday. Don't forget the Valentine banquet this evening, Saturday evening at 5 o'clock. You will enjoy yourself. If you're not signed up to go, so you missed the deadline on Friday or Sunday, if you are interested, please see one of the youth. Youth, you have to let me know tonight. And if you can't find the youth, let me know, because I'm telling you, you will enjoy the event. You cannot take or go by yourself if nobody will go with you. You know, sometimes it's hard. Or you like going by yourself. You can't find an event that you'll enjoy more than that. I'm telling you, I've enjoyed that for the last 4 years. The kids put on a wonderful, wonderful event. And they're going to have... how many of you are old enough to remember the coasters? Is it in the coasters? Well, we could not book the coasters. We tried. So we're having the jokesters in their place. So you have to come see. That's the entertainment of the night. So think about that. That ought to make you intrigued, at say the least. So think about it. We'll be pushing for that event, because all the proceeds go to get the kids to camp. They don't get to take the money. They don't go down to Walmart and spend it on a Game Boy. They actually go to camp, Bible camp. And so you'll be helping a good cause. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 14, the Bible says there, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." Verse 23. "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." Verse 26. "Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongue. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Now, up to this point, as we've arrived here at verse number 14, I told you last week we would talk about the importance of each member in the body of Christ here at Lock Haven Baptist Church, a local New Testament church. And we're going to talk about those parts. And remember, This book was written to the church at Corinth. In its context, it's written to a local, visible church. And so as we move into this point and begin to look at this, we see that it begins to talk about the bodies, the members of the church at Corinth, and we take the pattern and the example from that, and we use that in our operation as a local New Testament church today. So what's the importance of each member? It talks about foot, talks about the hand, the body, not being the whole body, and the ear, talks about the nose and the smelling and the hearing and all that. Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him. Let me tell you, church, when we have outreach and soul winning and visitation, and we have community time where we go out into this world as a church and as individuals, because it just cannot be at organized times. It's got to be a part of our life. We need to be more concerned with their soul and where they're going to spend eternity than where they're going to go to church that Sunday. Now listen, I desire that God bring people into our church, and I desire that our church continues to grow. And over the last 5 years, we have seen great growth. We've gone from a membership of 13 to up to near 100 in membership in the last 5 years. And so God continues to bless. Just in the month of January alone, every Sunday morning, we have been averaging around 131, 133 people here in the church. And on Wednesday night, we've been running right above 90 on Wednesday evening. So God blesses, but our emphasis has to be on the soul. Sometimes we get so focused, like, wow, man, this person would be a great member of our church. Praise God if God moves them to be. But more important than being a member is whether or not they are on their way to heaven or still on their way to hell. Because all have been born into this world sinners. We're born without hope. And we need to know the importance of Christ. Amen. That's what it's all about. So we got to get that in there. We've got to understand that when we are talking with people, look beyond membership. Because a lost person who becomes a member of any church will cause much trouble. They don't spiritually discern Bible. They'll be mad at every opportunity when preacher preaches. Can you know, I'm going to preach the Bible. And if you're lost, it offends. Great peace have they to love that law, and nothing shall offend thee. I'm going to be honest with you, it offends I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And I've been in some preaching meetings, and the Word of God offends. I mean, it gets down to the quick of the matter of where I'm living, and it touches what I'm doing. So I'm telling you, without the Holy Spirit of God, ooh, sure enough, they're going to get bothered by Bible preaching. And so we have to understand that when we're in that moment, at that conversation, look beyond what they can do for us. We need to be concerned with who we know and what He can do for them. That's the important part. Now, once they're saved, once we begin to disciple them and train them, and they submit to the believer's baptism, and then God moves them to join our church, praise be to God. Because that's what the Scripture says there. As we read, verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. So if God, being sovereign, sets people in a membership, in a body of believers, and it pleases Him, should it not please us to be faithful to what pleases God? Every member is important. Talked about comely parts and uncomely parts. And you know, I told you last week, nobody really desires to be the big toe of the church. But somebody has to be. Somebody has to be the neck bone of the church. I remember when I was in the military, my first platoon sergeant at Fort Stewart, Georgia, when I left basic training, went over there. We called him Smoke in artillery. The platoon sergeant was the Smoke. That was his title. His name was Dimps. And I remember him vividly because standing in any formation, you knew who he was because he did. In the back of his head, he had like 7 or 8 rolls of meat back that looked like an English bulldog there. And I knew when I could see him from afar, that from the back, that's my, no, nothing like him. And I'm going to tell you, boy, as long as we worked hard and pleased him, he looked out after his soldiers. He did. He was on top of it. He didn't let us lack for anything. But if we messed up and we weren't doing what we were supposed to do, he was just as unpleased as he was pleased when we did right. I'm just telling you, church, sometimes God looks down at us, and I have to tell you, in my own life, I find that many times God wasn't pleased with what I was doing. So if it pleased God to place me into the body of Lock Haven Baptist Church here, I must be important. I'm important. Listen, I'm not important to another church. I'm important to Lock Haven. Because it pleased God to place me there. That's what the Bible's talking about. Now ask yourself, help me out here. How many here has an idea what part of the church operation do you think would probably be the underarm in your mind? It's no right answer or wrong answer, by the way. Anybody got an answer? What you think, Justin? Who? Jacob, what is it? What do y'all think? Cleaning the bathrooms. You think that would probably be a pretty tough job. But I tell you, it's important. Very important. Nursery. It's important. Preach, I don't understand that. Surely the choir's got to be the most important. Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Think about this, church. You're a visitor and you're coming to our church for the very first time. You have kids. You have difficulties all week long. You and your boss had some crosswords. And, you know, if you and the boss have crosswords, you might come in Monday and have a pink slip. So you might have a whole lot on your mind. You might have a whole lot. And you come into the house of God and somebody greets you. They tell you where the restrooms are. And they tell you where the nursery is. And that's a good thing. It should be. We should be on top of it. Somebody said this. We're glad you're here. We're so thankful that you have come to our place of worship and joined us. Your presence makes us happy. Ladies' bathroom is here, men's bathroom's there, the nursery's there. And if you'd like, I can show you exactly where they are and be a help to you. And by the way, it's not necessary that you put your child in the nursery here. Some churches require, they do, that if it's a 3-year or younger, they require. And that's kind of awkward. But you're not required. You know, let them know they're not required. Because when you say that, they're thinking in their mind, I've got to put my child in a strange place. Some of them are not comfortable doing so. But if they are, it needs to be ready and be prepared. They need to be greeted with a worker that realizes that, hey, your job is just as important as pastor's during that hour. It is. Well, I don't understand that. Well, think about it. There's lost people that come into our church without Christ, without any hope, without any knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if they're sitting in a particular place and a child is being disruptive and the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with them, they're not listening anymore to the Holy Spirit of God. They're disturbed by what's going on around them. That's why I tell you, church, it's so important that you... Brother Jim doesn't make the announcement if you have a cell phone to cut it off just to aggravate you or to put it on vibrate. That's not to aggravate you. What it is, it's to help not interrupt the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Because I'm going to tell you, as soon as the Holy Spirit of God's dealing with some, say the Holy Spirit of God's dealing with these young boys over here, and God deals with young boys, young men, young ladies, kids, and he's dealing with them over here, and then one of them's cell phone goes, ching-ching, who you got a text? Who's texting you? And every head turns over here. And if all these heads turn over here, guess what happens to all these heads over here? What's going on over there? What are they doing over there? They go to drop their child off in the nursery. And the nursery hadn't been cleaned. And the diaper that has been changed from last week's babies. And preacher, that's the hardest part altogether, dealing with all the dirt. I know. I got one grandson here with me, and one was just born, and my son asked me when my wife brought him down a week ago, said, who's going to be changing diapers? I said, I've done all the diaper duty I'm doing. We can take a hose pipe, and we can strip him off down there and spray, or one of the youngest other kids could do it. But they open that door to drop off their child. They're already in a strange place. And they smell that. You see how important it is, church? Very important. They go into the bathroom and the bathroom hasn't been cleaned that week because somebody wasn't faithful to do what they volunteered to do. Your job is all important. Every Sunday school teacher is just as important as Brother Jim leading the choir. Every choir member is just as important as the pianist. The pianist is just as important as the one who runs the vacuum cleaner. The importance, you are important. Why? Because it pleased God to place you here. You know what? The problem is that sometimes we self-evaluate what's going on. We self-evaluate our own importance. Think about it like this. If you was the only nursery worker, the only bathroom cleaner, the only one that run a vacuum cleaner, the only one on this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ would have died for you. You're important. You're important. Don't look at the particular job and say, man, I just don't. That is pride. I just don't feel important. Hey, you're important to God if you're not important to anybody else. Because it pleased God to place you there. Verse 18, but now hath God set the men. That's why it's so important when we talk to people that we understand that it is first important thing to talk about is their soul and then allow God to move their heart. Now listen, sometimes people transfer churches for some reason and they transfer into our church, and sometimes God transfers them over there and it works like that, and it's just how it works. But when someone comes visiting our church, we need to understand that we have a job to do for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's to do it all for His glory and His honor, and let God move them and not us convince them. Because if we convince them and things go like they did at their church, why? Because we're just people. We have problems. We have stubborn wheels right here. We have people that sometimes have agendas right here, just like what they're trying to leave. And guess what's going to happen? 4, 5, 6 months into it, they're going to be just as unhappy. And then when they leave here, they're going to be embarrassed to go back to where they were supposed to be. Then they get out of church altogether. It's the devil's way. For some reason, for whatever reason, sometimes we feel like we're not important. That's why we need to get to scriptures like this and see that, hey, it pleased God to put me here. It is pleasing to God that He placed me. So if it's pleasing to God to place me in Lock Haven Baptist Church, I'm going to do everything I can inside the church to please Him. Works out pretty good, doesn't it? How many of you, with your own kids, if they desire something, and all kids do, they desire things. They have a want. They have kids that have things. But they get up in the morning, they make their bed, they take their dirty laundry, and it's always put in the hamper, not just through toward the hamper, like we men do. We're very good at that. We think we're in the NBA. That's why they haven't called and hired us. We can't even make our socks land into the laundry hamper, much less a basket and a goal, with somebody around us trying to block it. But they do everything. They eat their meal. They do their homework. They do the things that you ask them without complaining. And they come there and they said, Dad, I've been wanting this here gadget. It's just been on my heart. And I've got $14 saved up, but it's $22. What you thinking about to do? You're going to dig in your pocket and you're going to find $10 to give them. Why? They have been pleasing to you. Well, what if that same knucklehead, you drag them out of the bed, got to pour cold water on their feet, you got to get them literally get the FBI on the phone. I'm calling, you're going to be locked up in a juvenile detention center if you don't get your socks in that laundry, man. You're fussing and fighting with them. And then they come and say, Dad, I've been really wanting this Game Boy, and I ain't got no money. But if you gave me $22, I can get this here game. What you fixing to do? Well, how much more does our Heavenly Father know how to take care of us? When we're pleasing to Him, dear friend, I'm telling you, He looks over into our lives, and He just drops down some mercy drops. And He drops off some goodness into our lives. Why? Because it's pleased Him to place us somewhere, and where we've been placed, we've chosen to bloom. Instead of always looking for greener grasses. Every one of you know where the green grass grows the greenest. Right above the septic tank. After years of the septic system being underground, if it's made out of metal, you know what happens to that metal? It corrodes, softens. And if you're standing over it while it's softening and corroding, and we done gained some more weight than we should have had, guess where you might end up? Not in the green grass. In the gooey fertilizer. Choose to bloom where God's placed you until God desires to place you somewhere else. It's important. And if we get to the point to realizing that we are important to God, it doesn't matter if I'm not important to anybody else around me. Can you imagine a whole church group of church members all thinking we're important to God? And we're trying to please God? How much joy and harmony there must be? Where does it talk about that? Well, talked about it there being some schisms, did it not? Misplaced that verse. Let me find it. 25. That there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. How one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Why? Because we're one. One. No soloists. No big I's and little U's. We're all working for Him, laboring together in love, trying to please Him, and allowing God to use us to be a blessing to our community. Preacher, sometimes people just use me. How many times have we used God? God, you just get me out of this here. I promise you, I'll do right. I'll read my Bible. I'll pray. I'll be faithful to church. I'll pass out 100 tracts a week. Just get me out of this. Save me right here. And God saves us. And been there, done that, wore the t-shirt, fat pants all around it. You're not the only one that's done it. We use God, don't we, many times. And yet He still is our Heavenly Father. And the next time we come, we're offered, we're in repentance, ask for forgiveness. Guess what He does? He draws us right next to Him and says, "You're my child, it's okay. Let's move on." How does that happen? Because He loves us. We're important to Him. We're worthless, yet He thought us worthy enough to send His only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary for you and I. This amazes me. Each member of Lock Haven Baptist Church is important. And we need to make sure that we, as members, make others feel important. None of us looking down our nose, condescending, and lording over people. He's the great shepherd. The chief shepherd. He's the one that calls the shots. And we just follow Him. Yeah, but I just, for some reason, there just has to be a line of more important jobs in the church. What's that last verse say? Covet what? Somebody there? Read it, Brother Ronnie. I closed my Bible already.
But if
thou
that earnestly confess,
there's a more excellent way. When we get down to that next chapter, and we go on moving into chapter 13, we get down in there, we're going to find there's three things. But one never fails. What is it?
Charity.
Charity. Let's stand to our feet.